Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 11th of July, recording at 4:13 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, first a quick review of what's going on here in the markets. A little bit of selling pressure creeping in for stock markets, all very much in line with the medium-term correction. So we see mostly minuses in Asia, nothing big, and some slightly larger declines in the European markets, and which are approaching closing time. And Wall Street is down as I speak, about 0.5% on the Dow and the S&P, but a bit more on the NASDAQ, which has been leading the way down once again. And it so often leads in both directions, as I've mentioned on many occasions. Elsewhere, we've got bonds a little bit steadier, definitely steadier in here today, following this background, so bouncing from some of those recent lows that we have seen, or tests of previous lows by bond futures prices. And we have the US dollar a little bit easier in here today, but nothing big. Well, the Aussie dollar is having a pretty good gain here, 75.20 as I speak. That's up 60 ticks. And gold, precious metals, which had had a shakeout yesterday, are doing considerably better. Gold's up $10, $10.50, $634.72 on bullion. And we've got silver, which dipped under 11 yesterday, back up to 11.45 as I speak. Platinum, powerful. Watch platinum, it's so often the leader, 12.55. Palladium's lagging in here at 3.28, but that's 10 off the low on the day, and it won't lag for long if that platinum continues to move up as the price chart suggests it will. Most of the industrial metals have been very, very strong. Nickel's a little off its high as I speak, but still up $900 on the day. And there's a nickel feature going up on the website that I produce. Well, I was really talking about how commodities that have are very much still in this secular bull market overall, in my view, and how people have been going on and on. This is a mildly amusing subject, but blaming the hedge funds for all the activity. But I've pointed out that the real, and in inverted commas, hedge funds are, in terms of influence on the prices, are now governments. Hope you enjoy that daily feature. Okay, so where are we? What's going on here? Well, first, as I indicated yesterday, while the quite nice bounce that we saw in stock markets after their earlier sell-off has dispelled a lot of the fears about a major bear market, or at least dispelled them in the short term, that will change again, of course, if we get some retests of lows. But the action that we're seeing right now is very much in line with a medium-term correction. And I indicated yesterday that I felt that, again, the initial part of the bounce, very understandable, overextended on the downside, but that further gains would be harder to maintain in most instances. And I thought we'd get a lot of sideways trading and so on, and we would have a bit more right-hand extension. Markets would need to pull back, establish further support, and so on. The whole process would take a number of weeks, and then we might not be really out of the woods until the as far as the medium-term correction is concerned before October. Now, the end of October. But now that's hardly panic stations in here. I do maintain, as I repeated again yesterday and had been saying before my medical absence, that I felt that we had seen the worst of the decline for a number of stock markets. And there are a few which have impressively pushed through to new high ground. And predictably, no surprise in this, China being one of the leaders in that respect. As I mentioned many times, if any one market was going to uncouple from the global cycle, it was going to be China. But we've seen a few others, Croatia, Slovenia, I believe, Peru. These have managed to push up into new high ground. We might have a little bit of difficulty holding it, China excepted, as we experience a little bit more selling pressure in some of these other markets. But if you like your core portfolio positions, and I do, in terms of my personal investment portfolio, which is so heavily weighted in favor of resources and also the Asian emerging markets, and there's no way I'm going to disturb those positions in the resources or the Asian emerging markets, although they both are comparatively high beta, and having performed so well, excuse me, over the previous 3 years and a bit, are quite understandably going to be fairly volatile. My view in terms of those two sectors is that the sell-offs are buying opportunities. And I'm not going to try to finesse these the way I might with a trading position. I'm in for what I believe are secular bull market runs. And so trying to sell some of my favorite mining positions or favorite funds investing in Asia when they're a bit overextended on the upside is not the way I should spend my analytical energies. And you use my investment time. I really want to be concentrating on their medium to longer term potential, and then just adding occasionally on dips. But as you know, I've pretty well decided that I'm not going to be doing much further buying here until I see clear evidence that the medium term correction is over, and I'll happily pay up a bit over some of the spike lows that we've either already seen or may yet see if I have clear evidence that we're in a bullish environment. And in terms of timing, one can only guess, but my guess is that from the end of October onwards, that the overall environment will be improving considerably. And I think it would require an as yet unknown event to change that outlook significantly. Okay, what about these government bonds? Well, if stock markets become a bit softer in here, and we can see technical rallies in the government bonds, but I wouldn't look for much on the upside. I certainly don't think they're technical rallies worth buying for, although one could scalp a few points, but possibly on from a trading perspective. But in terms of the big picture, I maintain that long-dated government bonds are most definitely in a secular bear market. It'll be a gradually unfolding secular bear markets, as they always are, but that's not a sector that I want to invest in. It's a sector that I only short from time to time, preferably after we've seen some decent technical rallies that then begin to look tired. The US dollar ranging, pretty much ranging, and interest rate differentials are helping to hold it up, but I have maintained that it peaked back in November and is on its way back down to lower levels against most currencies. The only factor that would alter that outlook, not in general overall terms, but against specific currencies, would be when a particular currency has done so well that it induces what I refer to as the bleat factor. And the bleat factor, that's when first corporates and then politicians and then central banks begin to bleat, complain, in other words, about the strength of their currencies and how that's undesirable. As I've long said, in this environment, no government wants a strong currency because of the disinflationary, deflationary pressures that produces. And they fear that more than they fear the inflationary pressures that they've been talking tough about recently, and not without a degree of humbug, of course, because they created most of the inflationary pressures by just printing too much money. And that script for the dollar, and the fact that we are in a gradually increasing long-term inflationary cycle. These things are never linear. It'll always be jagged like any trend, almost every market trend. The precious metals, I expect to do exceptionally well, continue to do exceptionally well in that environment. They'll be volatile as well, but you know my view. You see a really decent correction in the precious metals, and those are buys. The danger periods are when prices have accelerated ahead, as we saw in up into May, and then they'll get clipped for a significant correction. Now, I have also talked in the past about contagion, particularly when I was looking for the beginning of the stock market correction. And again, we go back to May when that was starting, and I often wrote about and talked in these audios about, I use two terms, cascade effect and the contagion effect. In other words, Wall Street turns downwards, drags down other markets with it, and that spills over into any other high-flying market and drags them down as well. And that concern, well, a lot of people were concerned about that, and we saw about that prospect, and we saw it become a reality as the sharp stock market correction developed. It pulled down, say, all the other high-flying and seemingly unrelated markets. And some of the markets that had been most depressed, not surprisingly, rebounded a bit, like the U.S. dollar on short covering, and bonds rebounded a little bit on short covering. Now, there is always the possibility of some additional contagion effect. In other words, if we were to see a number of stock market indices go back and retest the lows that they had seen a few weeks ago, I do think that would weigh a bit on the precious metals, but nowhere near to the same extent that we've seen previously. And I might even be exaggerating that risk. Again, I wouldn't be surprised if there was some additional spillover contagion effect, but I would expect it to be much diminished or much diluted going forward. And the main reason for that is that I think we really have shaken out, or the market action has shaken out the weak and or highly leveraged and therefore exposed trading positions in those markets. So we're down to more of the investment positions, and I would not expect another big sell-off in the precious metals. And I had stated before I went away at the end of June that I did feel that we had seen the lows in those precious metals, and that they will remain top asset performers over the medium to longer term. Industrial metals, as I'd already mentioned, doing extremely well in here. Energy, that's strong. Now, I mentioned yesterday and repeated again today that energy prices can easily weigh on the stock markets, along with interest rate fears, along with the sort of jittery nerves that are still in evidence as a consequence of the earlier stock market sell-off. So expect it testing to, if we're lucky, dull time in stock markets. Lots of ranging and toing and froing, and that's the main environment, as I say, till we get through the end of October. And I think that's pretty much it, except to just spend a little bit more on this energy, on these energy markets, given the tightness in refining capacity. And I know Owen's producing something on this for today. I haven't seen it yet myself, but given the supply side vulnerability here, and that is compounded by the hurricane season approaching in the we're now in the hurricane season for the Gulf of Mexico, that I do expect an oil spike at some stage in here over the next few months, and stock markets are unlikely to like that. Oil remains very much in a secular bull market overall, as long as it doesn't surge ahead too dramatically for very long. That is something that the global economy can cope with. And that's it, folks, for another day. Now, tomorrow, I hope to make a brief appearance on the service, but most of tomorrow, I'm afraid, does belong to the medical boys. But as I say, I'll try to do some writing and possibly the audio. All the best. Bye-bye.